For WKNO News, I'm Christopher Blank. When commercial appeal music writer Bob Mayer relocated to Memphis a decade ago, he took over a job steeped in early rock and roll and classic Southern soul music. But another Mississippi River city has also been keeping him busy for the last 6 years or so, Minneapolis, the home of the pioneering rock band The Replacements. Here's a little sample of their song, I Will Dare. Bob Mayer has just published the authoritative book on the band. It's called Trouble Boys, The True Story of The Replacements. Bob is with us today. Bob, I'm curious about the words true story in the title. Was there a need to set the record straight?
I think the story that's been in the public sphere has been one that's only scratched the surface. And I wanted to tell their history, not from the outside looking in, but from the inside, understanding the internal dynamics. And what was really, as it turned out, as I did my research, a turbulent and fascinating story.
What is it about their music that makes them so influential today?
Well, I think they were a band with many personalities and many sides, and I think their influence, as we've seen it carry on after their breakup in the early 90s, is found in a lot of different types of bands. Shortly after their breakup, Nirvana came through and was often a group that was compared in some ways to The Replacements. Bands like Wilco, you know, critically acclaimed bands, the Goo Goo Dolls, they would take a piece of their sound or a piece of their personality and incorporate it, I think. And that's where their influence lies. It lies not just in one way or in one band, but hundreds of bands that, you know, many people know and love.
Reading this book, I sometimes wonder how the music actually got made. Because this is partly the story of a very dysfunctional relationship.
The principal singer-songwriter Paul Westerberg and the original founders Bob and Tommy Stinson and Chris Mars, they were sort of brought together by their idiosyncrasies and their desperation. The first part of the book is called Jail, Death, or Janitor. And Westerberg was once asked, what would it have been had you not found this band? And those were the options, Jail, Death, or Janitor. So with that as a baseline, I think of their journey through the music business was one of dysfunction, one of desperation, and acting out in some sense.
Do you hear that conflict in the music?
Left of the Dial, which has become a sort of anthem for that era of college rock and alternative rock, that's a big anthem on one hand, but yes, it's a secret love song on the other.
The Replacements were a band with such a bad reputation. They were banned forever from Saturday Night Live. They would curse in live radio interviews. It seems like they were determined to self-sabotage.
You know, that all goes back. I think they're what I describe in the book as a sort of sustained performance art in terms of their career. I mean, they were always doing things that at the time were probably self-defeating and self-sabotaging and hurt them in the short term. But yet here we are 30 years later talking about some of this stuff. So I think in the long run, the legend that they built and the romance and the myth that they created along the way benefited them ultimately.
One of their great records, Pleased to Meet Me, was recorded here in Memphis at Ardent Studios. Jim Dickinson was the producer. In your book, they come to Memphis on the verge of breaking up. Working here actually saves them.
I think it had to do with Memphis. I think it had to do with Dickinson specifically. Jim, as a producer, always said he was interested in the psychodynamics of the studio. And with The Replacements, he got plenty of psycho and dynamics. So he was able to, and Westerberg says it in the book, was able to trick, cajole, distract, tell them stories, sort of get them comfortable and out of their own head so that they were able to really deliver the kind of record that they hadn't up to that point.
The song Can't Hardly Wait has just a little bit of the Memphis sound on there.
One day they came in and recorded it, and it kind of taking, I think, the vibe of the city, put a little slack into the backbeat, loosened the riff, and sort of just grooved it a little bit more. And in addition to that, members of the Memphis Horns and Ben Colley would be added to the track. So yeah, that's their true moment in Memphis and where I think Memphis and The Replacements met.
Where do you think the Replacements will stand in the overall history of rock and roll?
There were certainly groups, you know, circa 1987 that had bigger hits or were more popular or more on MTV at the time. But very few of those groups have a catalog of songs that have lasted and are as beloved and as relevant today. And when the band reunited a couple years ago, Paul and Tommy reunited a version of the Replacements, they're playing to 13, 14,000 people in Minneapolis and New York and doing these shows where people are singing back their songs to them as the generational anthems that they have become. So I think in the long run, they have proved their worth, and I think they should be considered, you know, in that pantheon.
Bob Mayer is the music writer for The Commercial Appeal. His new book is Trouble Boys, The True Story of the Replacements. He'll be talking about the book and the band 6:30 p.m. tomorrow at the Booksellers at Laurelwood. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
I can't wait. Hardly.